You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. That yesterday wasn't very fantastic at all. It was more of a nightmare across the board. But somebody cashed some tickets yesterday because there's always a winner. Unfortunately, I was not in the winner's circle as much as I would have liked to have been. All right, we've got a Monday night contest this evening. Steve Merrill will join us, prosportsinfo.com. Steve Merrill, one of the covers experts. We'll take a look at the Eagles and the Bears. We'll take a look at some monster baseball games tonight. You know what? We've been focused in on football as of late, and justifiably so. But there's only a couple of weeks of regular season play left, and we've got some monster matchups tonight. Dodgers, Giants, Blue Jays, and Mariners. We got the Red Sox and Orioles, all critical playoff implication baseball games. We break it down with Steve Merrill. Paul Bovey joins us. Bovey joins us during the NBA season. Bovey also caps the NFL and college football. Bovey's got an early college football lean for us, as well as some thoughts on tonight's Monday nighter. Fantasy football, well, it was an absolute train wreck yesterday across the board. You know, various high-profile players brought absolutely nothing to the table. And I'm a believer, fantasy football leagues are often won with, you know, it's like real life, actually. You're like real football teams. They're actually won in, like, you know, the fourth round, the fifth round, the sixth round, because injuries will happen along the way, and your depth is going to come into play. But at the same point in time, if you're, you know, if your top five pick, if your top 10 pick, if your quarterback pick is not producing, it's a sabotage effect. And I've got a ton of these clowns, like, all on one team. You know, it's a complete train wreck. I got Kirk Cousins, Sammy Watkins on the same team. I have another team which I have Sammy Watkins and Keenan Allen. That's my starting wide receivers. They're absolutely devastating. All right, Greg Sussman's going to join us. Roto expert, sportsgrid.com editor, Greg Sussman will join us. Greg Sussman actually beat me in a fantasy league yesterday, but hey, who hasn't? You know, who hasn't? Whatever could go wrong did go wrong. I've been watching football for a long time, people. A long freaking time. Like, basically, when I started watching football, Terry Bradshaw was the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Roger Staubach was the quarterback of the Cowboys. Tony Dorsett was the running back. You know, you hear where I'm going with this? I've been watching football since the 70s, and I can't recall an afternoon as bad as yesterday. Every once in a while, late in the season, when the weather's horrible, you'll get a bunch of really bad games. Now, I'm not saying every game was bad, but you look at the fantasy football scores yesterday. I mean, people were having a hard time cracking 100. It was an absolute train wreck. We can go down the list. Adrian Peterson gets hurt. Odell Beckham catches more passes in a pregame warm-up than he does in a regular season now, suddenly. And that's serious, too. You know, the look at Sterling Shepard. This kid's for real. Victor Cruz is back. I don't know about Beckham. I feel screwed. He doesn't have any touch. I got nothing. Two games and I got nothing. You know, what did Antonio Brown do yesterday? Nothing. What did Russell Wilson do yesterday? Nothing. What did Andrew Luck do? Nothing. No, that's not true. Andrew Luck did do something. He sucked. That's what he did. He absolutely sucked. Speaking of sucking, let's go down the list here. And, oh, yeah, we already have our first casualty of the season. Greg Roman, offensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills, is fired. I believe it was last Monday. I stood in this exact same spot and told you he should be fired. And now the owners are meeting with the players behind Rex Ryan's back. Yeah, it sounds like you got a real functional thing going on here in Buffalo. But yeah, well, yeah, I'm done. I'm done with you clowns. Let's pick on another clown, Gus Bradley. Jacksonville Jaguars, heavily hyped. I fell for it as well. Completely unprepared yesterday. Keenan Allen not there. Danny Woodhead gets hurt. TJ Yeldon sucks, all right? Like, seriously. You know, and I took him in DraftKings because I'm like, well, he's going to get 25 touches. Yeah, he got 25 touches. He got 25 yards. The guy is freaking terrible. Like, he's awful. Like, what is good about you? How's Robinson treating you? How the Bortles stack Robinson stacks treating you? Speaking of horrible, Chuck Pagano. Let's be honest. honest. Chuck Pagano sucks. He's a horrible head coach. The Colts were better. The best the Colts ever were was when Bruce Arians was there. It's pretty clear Pagano was clueless. And, you know, he got sick. Hard to fire a guy that comes back from cancer. I don't want to be the jerk, but you guys already think I'm a jerk. So let's be real here. Dude got cancer. The guy that replaced him was better. You know, what are you going to do? No, sorry. We're not going to give you the job back. Unless you're Bobby Clark of the Philadelphia Flyers, you know, you're going to have a heart here. You're going to be like, wow, we'll give Pagano a chance. Pagano sucks, all right? The guy's a horrible head coach. But truth be told, the Colts defense all banged up. I told you guys that my lock of the week were the Indianapolis Colts. Well, when Indianapolis Colts scored and cut the lead to 3 with about 2 minutes left, I thought, wow. Well, you know what? We got the backdoor cover. We didn't get the money line win. But I can't count and handicap the fact that Andrew Luck is going to give the Denver Broncos 14 freaking points. And I find it amazing. There's always an excuse. Well, the Colts defense sucks. The Colts defense was fine yesterday, all right? Andrew Luck has regressed. That's just a fact. Andrew Luck has regressed. The guy's got a million weapons. He can't use them. Yeah, the Colts defense has some issues. But you know what? It's Andrew Luck's fifth year in the National Football League. Enough excuses. People kill Cam Newton. I remember Cam Newton. They lost the game to Denver in week one. I saw CBSSports.com had a headline. Will the real Cam Newton stand up? Well, I don't know. Stand up. If Graham Cano hits a damn field goal, they win that game last week. You know, will the real Aaron Rodgers stand up? I'll tell you what. Aaron Rodgers might be one of the sweetest passers in the National Football League. But if I'm a GM or if I'm a gambling man, which I am, no way in hell I want this guy with my money. I don't want him as my quarterback in a big game. That last night was a big game. The last time the Vikings and the Packers played, the Vikings beat them for the division title. Aaron Rodgers got outplayed by Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford. Aaron Rodgers, a freaking turnover machine. And, you know, look at Aaron Rodgers' record in games when they're trailing. It's awful. He can't come back. He's a front runner. And I don't know. I'm talking about Chuck Pagano. You know, hey, McCarthy. Maybe it would have been a good idea to kick that field goal earlier in the game. You're only playing against one of the best defense in the NFL. How many points did you lose by? Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, you lost by 3. McCarthy's awful. They should have beaten the Seattle Seahawks a couple of years in the playoffs, but he botched it. We can go down the list of botch. You want to speak of botches? How about me thinking Kirk Cousins could have a good year? The guy's freaking terrible. Absolutely awful. Colt McCoy would be better at this point in time. I could just go on and on and on with the future performances. The New York Giants. New York Giants, you guys are 2-0. How about covering a damn point spread, you jackasses? Like, seriously. I remember in the Tom Coughlin era, you guys can never score from the goal line. Remember, like, Eli's always screwing around at the goal line and stuff? It's the same crap. They go for it. They can't get it. They could have kicked a 3. They're in a desperation mode. And, you know, it's funny how fantasy football and betting football, everything's correlated nowadays. Odell Beckham had a sure touchdown. Would have given the New York Giants the win, the cover, and fantasy football players some damn points. None of which happened. I told you guys last week, for every lock, there's a key in a National Football League. The only sure thing about the NFL is there is no freaking sure things. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. I have more names here. Russell Wilson. Like, seriously. You don't take quarterbacks very high in drafts, but Russell Wilson was pretty much the second quarterback off the board in every fantasy football draft this year. Week one, what did they kick? A bunch of field goals. Got a late score. Yesterday, they couldn't score a touchdown against the Rams team that the 49ers put 20 up against. I tell you, man, it's been a crazy start to the National Football League season. Let's bring in Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, one of the covers experts. We'll talk about tonight's game, some baseball, and a little NASCAR. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, Gabe, how you doing?
Well, I'm picking up the pieces, Steve. An exasperating day yesterday. And, you know, everything's correlated now with DFS, with fantasy, and with betting. And in yesterday's game, I had the New York Giants. Oh, God. Like, I'm really starting to hate these guys. So the New York Giants, I lay the 4.5. They had numerous opportunities to pull away. They're first and goal from the three, first and goal from the two. It's like the Cincinnati Bengals yesterday. There was like three pass interference penalties in a row in the end zone. The Bengals, like 12 plays, can't score. But the Giants yesterday correlated, Steve. Odell Beckham drops what would have been a touchdown pass. Would have given the Giants the cover. Would have given fantasy football players those extra points. Instead, he drops it. On the next play, they go deep again. They're not going to go deep again. They go deep again. Victor Cruz gets tackled at the one, and they take a damn knee, Steve. I had the Indianapolis Colts, who score a backdoor touchdown cover with about 2 minutes left, and end up getting blown out in the next 2 minutes somehow. I thought I'd seen it all until I watched the games yesterday.
Yeah, I had three plays. I missed my total, but I actually went 2-0 on my sides. The Titans came from behind. It wasn't looking good. They ended up winning straight up. You know, they weren't even covering most of the game. Ended up winning outright as a 6-point dog. And then I had the Vikings Sunday night, and I was sweating that. You know, when they didn't get a field goal late and they're up by three, I was like, I could see Green Bay going down and winning by four. And luckily, that didn't happen. But all these games come down to the wire. We've said that for years now. It's like the NBA. It's even worse now. You literally watch the last half of the fourth quarter, and you'll see 70 or 80% of the point spread decisions. And by the way, Gabe, the reason I'm a smarter man than you, it's because I gave up on the Redskins a long time ago, unlike you giving up on the Bills. And yesterday is another reason why my life is a lot more simplistic nowadays, not having to sweat that stuff.
I had the Washington Redskins yesterday in a contest. You know, Steve, people are like, the Redskins are awful. I don't know if the Redskins are awful. Kirk Cousins is awful.
Yeah, he's $19 million richer this year, though.
He's terrible. Like, you know, like, I get you have one bad game. Now it's two bad games, but you're costing your team the game. And you dodged a bullet. That was a ballsy pick, Steve, taking Sam Bradford against Aaron Rodgers. But good call. You know, Aaron Rodgers doesn't win big games, and I'm an idiot. I told the guys here, I said, you know, if it was Sean Hill, I'd take the Vikings, but I'm not sure about Bradford in his first game. And, you know, I wasn't fearful. I'm not scared of Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. No matter how good the Packers could be, I think Mike McCarthy's a horrible head coach. And look, he decides to go for it early, Steve, and they end up losing by three. Time and time again, McCarthy screws up. And Rodgers is a great passer. He throws a great ball. I'm not disputing that. But, you know, to me, the guy is way, I know he's won a Super Bowl, but I don't trust this guy in big games. And we saw this again last night. It's a turnover machine.
Yeah, and I mean, to be honest, too, you know, one thing I like about week two is in the late games and the Sunday nighters, you get a lot of, you know, week one, we have to be careful. We always talk about that, but we get a lot more information from the early games in week two and even the late afternoon game. And when Jacksonville was getting blown out by San Diego, I started feeling a little bit better about the Minnesota pick because Green Bay actually got out-yarded by Jacksonville last week. And we all thought the Jaguars were a team on the rise, and now you're starting to wonder after yesterday's game.
All right, so let's lead into tonight's football game. You know, it's not the greatest matchup, but you know, they're actually smart to do this, Steve, because if this is like week 12 or something, and I've always said this over the years, why the hell do we have these two crappy teams on? Maybe the Eagles aren't going to be crap, but if you're going to put the Buffalo Bills on national television, put them on early like they did last week, Steve, before they're 0-6, you know what I mean? And a similar situation here, but we have two big TV markets, so I get why it's the Bears and Eagles tonight.
Yeah, and it's sitting on that key number of three right now. It's shaded a little bit to the dog. I don't think necessarily we're going to get down to 2.5 at any point. The total's at 42.5, somewhat of a dead number. 41 is a key number, 44, 45. So total doesn't look like it's going to matter too much. The side is worth keeping an eye on as far as the movement. Wentz looked good last week in his debut, but then again, he played the Cleveland Browns at home. A Cleveland Brown defense that had six starters with 10 games or less NFL experience. Half their defense had played less than half a season going into last week. Now he's making a road start, hostile environment on Monday Night Football. So I think, you know, you have to be a little more conservative here. A lot of uncertainty, though, how Wentz is going to play tonight. Maybe gets you leaning under 42.5 a bit. But then again, the Chicago defense isn't necessarily anything special.
And let me ask you, Steve, how hostile is Soldier Field?
Exactly. Right as I said that, I caught myself.
Yeah,
right,
I was going to ask, you know, I remember last year, Steve, it was a Monday nighter. I forget who the Bears were playing. And they ESPN, and they had like the six guys in a row. You know, they all do the picks, and they put the picks to the bottom of the screen. Every one of them said, I'm taking the Bears, you know, because of the home field. And I'm thinking, do these clowns know that the Bears haven't won at home in like 3 years? They're 1-10 in their last 11 home games, Steve.
Yeah, exactly. Right as I was saying that, was like, of all the arenas, this isn't the one I would exactly say strong home field. It's more the fact that it's a Monday nighter and it's early in the season. It's their home opener. Had they won last week, you know, and held on it against Houston when they were leading that game, you would think maybe the Chicago fans would be a little more pumped.
Yeah, they looked good in the first week yesterday. The Bears were up 14-0 last week. Yeah.
And for the Houston record, could be a playoff team.
For the record, too, they just told me in my ear here, the powers that be, the football god spoke. It's true. The Chargers beat the Bears, and that was the game I'm talking about. The Chargers beat them last year. And everyone on the panel liked the Bears, so I'm praying that they all like the Bears tonight.
I was laughing because I was looking at one website Thursday night, I think like Fox Sports or something. They had the six experts, and they all took the Jets. So I was thinking, oh, maybe Buffalo has a chance. But the Bills are so bad. The Bills are so bad, Gabe, that even all the experts pick against them, they still don't win.
Well, the Bills scored 14 on end right away out of the gate in the second half, man. And, but bad teams will always just like, the water will find its level. The Bills will find their level.
And you can start making an argument. Chicago's in that camp nowadays.
They are.
You know, you keep waiting for them to turn things around, and they have been a money burner for several seasons now for back.
I've been burnt, Steve. I've been burnt. I got to tell you, out of these, it's 1-10 last 11 straight up. And it actually goes deeper as far as the point spreads are concerned. How about this for a number, Steve? And I know you know Mark Lawrence's database as well as anybody's. Jay Cutler's 13-30 in his career as a home favorite.
Yep, and that's what I was going to say.
13-30 is a home favorite.
And that's what I was going to say. Every year when people think the Bears are getting better, the last two or three seasons, they continue to be money burners. What's been the one constant in that lineup? Jay Cutler.
I know. You're right. And I got confidence in Fox. You know, every year his teams in the second year, they win four more games. And, you know, Cutler wasn't really the problem last year, but I just don't trust them enough to be laying points here, Steve. And, you know, Philadelphia, new coach. You know, you got a little enthusiasm here. Generally, coaches that win at home, though, and then go on the road in their rookie season as a coach lose. But I don't trust the Bears here at all, Steve.
Well, and a rookie quarterback as well. You know, I said earlier in the, you know, when we're talking about the Sunday games last Friday, I said I like to look at week one and almost find a reason to go against results. And I think you can make a case that Philly's big win against Cleveland might not mean much when all is said and done. So I think that gives you a little confidence in playing against the Eagles. This is kind of like the presidential election. I'm not really one of the back either Philly or Chicago. I'm just looking for the team I want to play against more.
Yeah, we haven't talked about the election much, Steve. We'll get on it. You know what, Steve? In the last 2 weeks, I've been criticized. We've been doing Kaepernick-themed videos, a couple of them. In one of the videos, people are like, I'm very disappointed, Morency. I never knew you were such a right-wing nut job, and, you know, you're a Fox wannabe. And then I did another video, and then last week, somebody said, I don't know who this guy is, but he clearly has a Hillary Clinton tattoo on his ass to appease his liberal bosses. Now, our bosses are not liberal here by any stretch of the imagination. They appear on Fox News. We had the owner of the network appear on this show stating that he's pulling for Trump. Yeah, you can't win. Hey, Steve, you start talking politics and the zealots on both sides come out.
Yeah, but that means you're doing it right. If both sides hate you, then you're right down the middle. And you and I have got the libertarian stance anyway. And I was talking to somebody earlier, you know, about Gary Johnson this weekend, and we're saying that VP candidate, I forget his name, but, you know, the former governor of Massachusetts.
Bill Held.
Bill
Weld.
Like, he might have been a better presidential candidate. Then I started thinking, you can make that case about all three parties. Kane and Pence are probably better candidates as well.
Yeah, at this point, Jill Stein isn't looking so bad, except she is a real nut job. Jill Stein.
How about if she stays out of jail?
Jill Stein. Hey, listen, I don't think Snowden's a traitor and all that like some people. I you know, whatever, but she said that Snowden would be on her administration. I'm thinking, that's going to get you votes, lady. Yeah, the most wanted man in the world is going to be on your administration. What is Julian Assange, your campaign manager? Like,
she's throwing Hail Mary passes right now.
Oh, yeah, I know. All right, Steve. So speaking of which, let's blast through some baseball here. Big games. Red Sox and Orioles, man. First place on the line. Sox coming off their first four-game sweep over the Yankees since 1990. They'd won three-game sweeps, but since 1990, Red Sox peaking at the right time. Porcello's on the hill. He lost in a low-scoring game, 1-0 last week. I lost. It was last Wednesday, actually. Dylan Bundy. Been pretty solid, actually, for Balt. What do you make of this one?
Well, the Red Sox had a big jump in my power rankings that I do each Monday for Covers.com. They're up to third now. I put them ahead of the Rangers and the Indians this week in the American League. If you look at expected one-loss record, which is run margin, basically run scored, runs against, They have the best record in the American League, well ahead of Texas. Texas has won a lot of one-run games this year. Boston now 13-6 the past 3 weeks, 5-2 last week. Three-game lead on the Orioles, but this is in Baltimore, so this really is a do-or-die series for the Orioles. I think the Red Sox probably pull away this week.
Giants and Dodgers. Giants had a 6.5-game lead at the All-Star break, Steve. A giant collapse, pun intended, right there. Bumgarner and Kershaw. Bumgarner's beaten them before. They've faced each other 10 times. Bumgarner's 4-3 in the 10 matchups against Kershaw. Dodgers have a chance to put the nail in the Giants' coffin here this week.
Yeah, they now have a 5-game lead over San Francisco. The Giants fell again. They were, the only team that overtook the Cubs at one point this season in my power rankings was, believe it or not, the Giants back in July. I think right around the All-Star break. For 1 week, I changed them. Now they're 11th, and they're 22-37 since the All-Star break, Gabe. The uncertainty here, though, is Kershaw. He's been out since June. He had a minor league appearance, went 3 innings, 1 hit, 5 strikeouts. You just don't know what you're going to get out of him, but if he pitches anywhere near to what he did earlier this season, he's been dominant.
Yeah, he's 7-1 at home. As you say, I don't really want to lay the 70 cents here. It's better spots. I'm betting the football, and I didn't give actually in the plays of the day, but Jays and Mariners, actually, Steve, tonight. Jays are really struggling right now. They got locker room turmoil. The GM picked a horrible time. He went on local radio that's owned by the Jays, so that the hosts are big suck-ups. It basically said, yeah, we're not going to we're going to let all our guys hit the free agent market. It's like, really, dude? You're in the middle of a pennant chase, and you're going to publicly say about how, yeah, we're not re-signing Edwin. We're not going to re-sign Batista. Or he said, well, we'll see after the year. He shouldn't have answered the damn question. Donaldson doesn't get along with people. No one gets along in his clubhouse. They're kind of in a free fall right now, but they're still up 2 in the wild card. That's why it's good to win games. They all count early in the year. But the Mariners are red hot right now, Steve, on an 8-2 run. Out of these three games, I like the Mariners tonight.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of current momentum in baseball. The Blue Jays 4-9 the last 2 weeks. The Mariners went up 3 spots. They were my biggest riser in my power rankings this week. They're now 10-3 the last 2 weeks. The 2 weeks before that, they went 2-10. So yep. It just shows, momentum. By the way, they have the best net run differential. They're up plus 52 net runs this year in the Western Division, ahead of both Houston and Texas, even though they're behind them in the standings.
Wow.
Or actually, They're half a game ahead of, I think, Houston, but they're 8.5 behind the Rangers still. Underrated team.
All right, before we get out of here, Martin Truex rallies from a lap down to get it done. Failed inspection after, but it's not serious enough that they're going to take the win away. He's advanced. He's good. He doesn't have to worry about the next 3 races right now, essentially. Chase Elliott was cruising along. He was going to win, but McDowell blows a tire, causes a caution, and it's kind of like a lottery with the balls. It gets reshuffled, and they go again. Steve, I know they can't just have the 16 guys on the they could. I think that'd be great. But you can't really have the 4 guys on the track. But I'm kind of mixed about this. When you got some dude that's got no money, no stake, playing on the table here, no chips on the table, and this jackass causes someone in the chase to get screwed.
What's ironic about it, Gabe, is there was only 4 cautions the entire race, and nobody even went to the infield center. I mean, there were no wrecks, no injuries, anything, and yet, the most caution-free race in recent memory, a caution decides the race. So very ironic. I liked Truex last week. We talked about him as one of my picks to win this whole thing. And Gabe, when they reset in 3 weeks, in the next 3 sets, the first race out of the next set is at Charlotte, and Truex was maybe the most dominant driver at Charlotte of any race in recent memory earlier this year, so it's really setting up well for him right now.
Yeah, you're right. I might jump on this, actually, Steve, right now. It's a little patient, but the odds are going to drop. You're right.
It'll be lower on him, but yeah, he's going to win in Charlotte in 3 weeks.
I like where you're going with this, because if we wait, we don't have to wait right now, Steve, so much, right? But it's before that Charlotte race, because he doesn't care now what happens.
Right, more people get wins so that their odds drop, and maybe you'll get a little bit better odds with Truex, especially if, like, Kyle Busch or Harvick win the next 2 weeks, then Truex's odds might be a little higher than in Charlotte. But he dominated that race as much as I've ever seen any driver dominate a race back in May.
No, and he had a great year. He's got the Gibbs know-how now. He's had a great year. He's not really locked in. He doesn't owe anybody anything on the track too much. I like where he's going with this. It's just he had a hard time closing it, but he closed it in the right time. We got to get out of here. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
All right. Paul Bovee joins me next. We'll talk Monday Night Football. Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. Ian Rappaport is reporting that Danny Woodhead is out for the season. Torn ACL. So San Diego Chargers lose Keenan Allen in week one. They lose Danny Woodhead in week two. Yet they did beat the crap out of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And speaking of losing things, my guesstimation is that Gus Bradley's the first coach to be fired. Doug Marrone waiting in the wings right now. For the record, Rex Ryan was supposedly told that he's safe for the year. You know, what are they going to do? Like, who are they going to hire right now if they fire him? So basically, you know, Rex is on the clock. I thought that Rex potentially could be the first coach fired. I thought that potentially Gus Bradley could be the first coach fired as well. But as a betting man, we'll hit this on tomorrow's show. We'll get the odds up. Gus Bradley's done. He's going to get fired. He's like 12-38 as head coach in the NFL right now. And as I said it off the top, I don't think, you know, there's like a lot of crappy coaches in the league. Right. Well, we don't know if Doug Peterson is a crappy coach. We know he's 1-0 so far as a head coach. Well, let's bring in Paul Bovey, VegasInsider.com's Paul Bovey. Paul, always a pleasure. How you doing?
I was doing a little bit better about 2 minutes ago because I'm already on the Charger game over this week. So the fact that Danny Woodhead is out does not bode well for my number, but 51.5, I still like it.
You know, if there's a silver lining in this, at least the fact if you're the Chargers is that Melvin Gordon is actually looking like a first-round running back so far this year.
He is. He's looking great, and I'm banking on a decimated Colts defense that lost another cornerback yesterday, and they've been shredded 53-72 by the opposing quarterback this year thus far. Chargers should be able to put some points, but yes, Gabe, he's looked great.
You know, yesterday I had the Colts. It was like my top pick of the week, essentially. I knew that their defense was banged up, but I thought that Andrew Luck would be able to outscore Trevor Siemian, and you know, not only did he outscore, but he actually put 14 points on the board for the Denver Broncos. But you know what it's like, Paul, and we had the Colts in the Super Contest. When it rains, man, you know, it comes down hard. And it was one of those deals where it was looking great. I had the Colts plus the 6. I thought I was getting a backdoor cover. When a team scores and, you know, they get that cover, there's about 2.5 minutes left. I thought I had it, Paul, and it just fell apart, man.
Oh, that was... Gabe, that was a crusher. I mean, that touchdown off the fumble, then a two-point conversion. At least you had the push at 26-20. That's a brutal loss. That's one of those where we lament over for a couple days, but we got to put it behind us.
We got to put it behind us, and we move on. And, you know, it's funny, Paul, because generally when you have those type of days, I like to turn off, you know, after the Sunday nighter. I'm like, I'm not watching anything football. I don't want to see SportsCenter. I don't want to see any highlights. I don't want to know about anything. But when you do what you and I do and you're hosting a show every day, there's no avoiding it. So you got to man up, put your pants on, and suck it up and get back to work. And I didn't even get crushed yesterday really that much as far as money is concerned. You know, I bet bigger on certain games, actually, so I did well. I did okay. I did badly, but I didn't get killed. But let's talk about tonight's game. Eagles and Bears. It was 3.5. Now it's sitting at 3. I brought it up earlier, Paul. The Bears are 1-10 straight up their last 11 home games.
Yeah, Gabe, but you come in with a rookie quarterback, this particular environment, specifically Soldier Field, rookie quarterbacks on the road, first game, not kind to them. But then again, you look at the Bears, and they can't block for Jay Cutler. So you look at this, and Wentz looked great the first week. So you look at this game, and to me, it's really hard to pick a side because you can make a case for both teams. God, the Bears can't block for Cutler.
Yeah, sacked 5 times last week.
Five sacks, and even in the preseason, they couldn't block for him. So you got to figure Connor Barwin and Fletcher Cox going to be all over this guy. So where do you go with the game? Gabe, I'm going under on the game.
You're going under. It appears. I never win when I take unders. I'm going to tease it to the over. I'm going with the Eagles here. I just don't trust Jay Cutler. And I know Carson Wentz, it was against the Browns last week and it was at home. And you're right, Paul. I mean, I'm looking at the numbers here. Doug Peterson, rookie head coach. So he wins his debut last week at home. How do rookie coaches do off a win on the road after they win at home? 1-12 straight up the last 13 times a rookie coach won his home game and then went on the road in week two. Paul, that's an ugly number right there.
It is, Gabe. I credit anybody that has a passionate feeling about either side, because it's just hard to make a case for either side, at least a convincing case. But, you know, we have to come out there and we have to choose something. And there's some guys that want action on every game. And, hey, there's plenty of action tonight, because you could even look at some props. I was looking at punts, 10.5 over. There should be a lot of punts in this game. There should be 13 of them.
I like that. I like that. What do you think? I got a prop up with the total sacks over 4.5.
Love it. You got to figure Cutler's good for at least 3, and that's going to put you in good position to cash on that one. 4.5, I'm curious. You probably had to lay 135, right?
45 cents.
45.
Yeah.
Okay.
A couple of other quick props. I want to get to the Texans pass game. Aguilar's actually been somewhat of a fantasy bust. People are down on him. 4 catches last week. His prop is at 2.5. And tonight, Miller, Zach Miller's 2.5 reception as well. I like the tight ends, Paul.
Like the tight ends. The passing should be shorter. And in that regard, it's probably a solid play. You know, last week, Cutler, if you strip out the long completion, I believe, to Jeffrey, he threw like 28 passes and 150 yards in offense. Short passing game on both sides makes a tight end a decent play.
Yeah, and I've actually got Cutler over 20.5 completions. Don't love it, but it's up. You know, they're going to pass. Langford's not very effective. All right, well, they got like 2 minutes already here, Paul. So Texans and Pats. Pats aren't the home dog very often. So no Gronk, no Brady, no problem. No Gronk, no Garoppolo. Will there be a problem? I don't really think so. They got Brady coming back in a couple of weeks. You know, they've already got 2 wins. Worst thing, you know, some people thought they were going to be 2-2 anyways. They got the Buffalo Bills in 2 weeks. And, you know, Jacoby Brissett played very, very well in the preseason. You know, what do you make of this one quickly? And then we'll get to your early college lean of the week. But Houston and the Patriots right now, do you trust Osweiler on the road laying points against the hoodie?
Well, you got to look at the defense, Gabe. The Texans absolutely stymied Alex Smith yesterday. I think he was like 5 yards an attempt. Defenses look great. Now, as far as Bissett, I don't know how he's going to perform. He's the wild card. Preseason really means nothing. But they got a lot of bangers on the team. But I'm talking receiver-wise. But what scares me about New England, yesterday, the Dolphins, 17 yards of offense, 3 minutes into the second quarter, and they end up with 450. Now, do you look at that like, okay, New England are relaxed, they had a 31-3 lead, or did they just fall apart defensively? That's a scary proposition, Dave. Those are huge numbers.
All right, Paul, we're getting the hook right now, but I want to get this out there. Florida Gators and the Tennessee Volunteers, the Vols were heavily hyped coming into the year. They were flat against App State. They turned it up a notch in the second half against Va Tech at Bristol at the NASCAR track, and then they were flat once again against Akron. You get the Gators coming in here, played 3 football games, only giving up 14 points, and oh yeah, they've beaten Tennessee 11 straight years, Paul.
Okay, well, first of all, the Gators haven't played much of a schedule, but you look at Tennessee, Joshua Dobbs, how effective is he? And in that Va Tech game, the Hokies turned it over 5 times. You can't really expect to win a football game turning the ball over 5 times. Tennessee had all of 330 yards of offense. And you look at against Ohio, I mean, the Ohio quarterback, Ohio in their first game, the opposing quarterback from Texas State passed for 500 yards against Ohio.
Oh, sorry, I say Akron, Ohio.
Didn't do much of all. What?
Yeah, sorry, sir. Did I say Akron instead of Ohio? Yeah, it was two.
Well, Akron, oh, by the way, Akron did great on I had Akron Marshall over, so on
two,
that
two
note,
crappy
Akron,
MAC teams. Yeah, no, I got him confused there. You know, I got
the point is, Gabe, that I think Tennessee has definitely not impressed to this point this year. You're getting 8 points. I realize we lost our quarterback, but we got a fifth-year transfer from Purdue who's had two full seasons. I'll take him, and I'll take the 8 points, which I took last night, down to 7 now.
Yeah, I like where you're going with that. I actually had a good college card this week. All right, Paul, I got to get out of here, but great stuff as always. Can't wait for the NBA season to start and talking hoops with you as well. Check out Paul Bovey's picks over at VegasInsider.com. He'll have some college winners and always a solid NFL card as well. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Paul Bovey with us. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we're getting to the football gods. You're like, yeah, no. Akron's in Ohio. Yeah, thanks. I know Akron's in Ohio. I didn't pay attention to that game. I saw Tennessee not covering flat, but we did well, except for our Oklahoma Sooner pick. God, like really? Really? Like week two? I just want to pretend this past week never happened. We move on. Greg Sussman joins us next. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. As we told you a couple of minutes ago, Danny Woodhead's now out for the season, joining Keenan Allen. Yet, I'll tell you what, I did have a piece. One of the smarter fantasy things I did yesterday was grab Travis Benjamin in the late DraftKings lineups. And Benjamin just has a way of finding the end zone. Adrian Peterson, I don't know how serious his injury is. Maybe if the football gods keep talking into my ear here, get an update. But word was, I believe Vikings insider said it doesn't look good. They said the exact quote was, it's not good as far as Adrian Peterson is concerned. Let's bring in Greg Sussman right now, who wrote on sportsgrid.com that my affinity for the Buffalo Bills could be my downfall in the Fantasy Cup. And, you know, this Fantasy Cup, Greg, it's really starting to anger me. Last week, dude, I got like 154 points or something, and I lost to Marianne Lee, and I would have won like almost every matchup. Yesterday, I got like 87 points, Greg. Jameis Winston's my quarterback. I had Amir Abdullah. I think Jameis Winston was my quarterback. I got Antonio Brown, first overall pick. What do you get? 39 yards, Greg. It was a disaster. Like, I want to cry, man.
Dude, absolutely brutal. And we just talked about it before we went on the air here. Sammy Watkins is going to cause you pains and aches as a fan, as a fantasy owner. It's a disaster, like you said. Now, Antonio Brown's never great against Cincinnati, but your team just sucks yesterday.
How about, like, I wanted to blast through this. So as long as we're talking wide receivers, Odell Beckham. Yes, okay. He's putting up some points because he's catching balls, but the touchdowns aren't there right now. And I'm noticing an interesting pattern right now, Greg. The Sterling Shepard pattern. This kid's in his second game. Eli has no fear throwing it to him in clutch situations. He's manning up, going over the middle of the field, fighting for hard yards. Who caught the big pass, the game-clinching game yesterday? Victor Cruz. Oh, you know, the O-Dog ain't the only show in town anymore on that field. I've got concerns and reservations. You know, he's still a great player. That dropped a pass, it would have been a touchdown, Greg, at the end. What's your take on this with the emergence of a healthy Cruz and what looks like a damn good Sterling Shepard?
He dropped what could have been two touchdowns yesterday. And I have a feeling that we wouldn't be talking about this if he caught the last one for, 25, 30 yards. We would have had we've been talking about 9 catches for over 100 yards and a touchdown for Odell Beckham. And nobody would be saying a word that Odell has to worry about Sterling Shepard and Victor Cruz. Beckham still leads the team in targets. He's still the number one option. I'm not remotely worried about Beckham. I'm not worried about Julio Jones despite the calf injury. I'm not worried about Antonio Brown or DeAndre Hopkins. In fact, the first 4 wide receivers off the board, number 5, including AJ Green, all 5 of those guys are pretty much doing or capable of doing everything we wanted of them. It's after that you're worried. Keenan Allen out for the year. Allen Robinson invisible. After the first five guys, which we were safe on, everybody else is a total crapshoot.
You're right. Allen Robinson and Blake Bortles. That's the, I actually had a DK lineup yesterday where I stacked them.
That would be great.
Yeah, like, can we call, does Yeldon, can we officially say he sucks? Like, it's one of these deals where he gets, I put him in a lineup. I'm like, he's going to get 25, 26, touches. He's going to get all the runs. Yeah, he does, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like, he rushes for, 2 yards. He catches the ball, and he gets tackled. It's almost like Latavius Murray right now as well, where it's like, you get the ball all the time, but so what? You're getting 3 yards.
The difference between Latavius Murray and T.J. Yeldon is that the Raiders are looking at it and saying, you know what? Latavius Murray might suck, so we're going to give the ball to Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington. We're not going to let Latavius Murray just suck it up. The Jaguars, without Chris Ivory, are saying, you know what? This is the best we have. I've never seen a PPR game where you have 9 receptions for 10 yards. I didn't know that was possible. Seriously. And then T.J. Yeldon, had 7 rushes for 28 yards, and that's great. I looked at Yeldon coming into the year and hey, this guy of Ivory, or when Ivory gets hurt, this guy's going to break out. And instead, all the naysayers were right. He sucks. You're right, Gabe. He's awful. He's had every opportunity to prove himself. If he goes off against San Diego, which he should have, just like Spencer Ware did the week before, or he goes off against Green Bay, which he could have, people would say, you know what? We don't want Chris Ivory to come back. Or the Jaguars would say, we want him to be 100% healthy. Instead, everyone is begging for the return of Chris Ivory, because T.J. Yeldon, in multiple opportunities here this year, has been very, very disappointing.
It's amazing, Greg. You and I talked about the Minnesota Vikings. And so is Bridgewater. And then, it's going to be Sean Hill. And we all said, not much of a fantasy impact. Well, whatever. Not much. No one really likes anybody too much. It's only Diggs. So let's bring up torn meniscus for Adrian Peterson. No timetable for his return. And suddenly, Stephon Diggs with Sam Bradford. Was it 30 plus 32 points last night? I knew Stephon Diggs was a baller. But I wonder about Bradford. But Bradford did everything that they brought this guy in to do, at least in one game. He outperformed Aaron Rodgers. He threw the ball down the field efficiently. Suddenly Stephon Diggs is a valuable commodity. And maybe this Viking offense starts throwing the ball. Now they don't have Adrian Peterson. It's amazing how the dynamics change from week to week in this league.
It's insane. They lose their quarterback before the season starts, and we're all just like, you know what? It sucks for the Vikings because they were a playoff team last year. They had the potential to go far. Hey, they win week one. Week two, they come in, they lose their all-pro, as you said, Adrian Peterson, and Stephon Diggs emerges. We said it just a couple of weeks ago that, Stephon Diggs is fine. He's a wide receiver 4 that you don't really want to play. Then after last week, maybe he's a wide receiver 3. Now we're sitting here, and he's a legitimate wide receiver 2 that produces week in and week out. He's shifty, he's fast, he catches everything. This is the player that I saw at Maryland. I saw him, and I wish Randy Etzel used him better. He would have been a much higher pick than a 5th rounder, and he is proving all the talent that when he came into College Park that he has. It doesn't matter who's throwing him the ball. They are finally utilizing the weapons that they do have, whether it was AP or Stephon Diggs or even Kyle Rudolph, who saw 8 targets last night. So Minnesota is doing what they can on offense. Their defense is good enough to go to the playoffs. And now their offense, as long as it's around Stephon Diggs, they're pretty good too.
How about, we got about 2 minutes here. How about the Seattle Seahawks? Struggled in week one offensively. I had concerns about their running attack and the offensive line coming into the season. Yet it's just getting worse and worse right now. Now Rawls is banged up. The run game's a mess. Russell Wilson's running for his life, and they couldn't score. They couldn't score a touchdown. Doug Baldwin owners crying. Russell Wilson, pretty much the second quarterback, taken off the board, bringing absolutely nothing to the table so far. What's your take on the Seahawks situation?
I want to throw yesterday's game out theoretically, because the Rams, for whatever reason, and Jeff Fisher, it's the only team he plays well against. His defense kind of knows Seattle very, very well. But it's hard to do that with after going back to week one, where a Patriots team led by Jimmy Garoppolo absolutely crushed Miami week two. This is the same Miami team that held Seattle to almost nothing in week one. I'm worried about Seattle. I think the offensive line is very, very bad. They just trusted Tom Cable to make magic here. It has not happened. Russell Wilson's banged up. Thomas Rawls is banged up. Doug Baldwin, Tyler Lockett, all banged up. This team needs to get it going, and I don't know if they will right now. I think yes, playing San Francisco next week is going to help, but I definitely have my fears with this team. Like Thomas Rawls leaving with a contusion. Is it really a contusion, or did he re-injure his ankles? I think that remains to be seen. I think Chris and Michael owners are feeling okay right now. I'm a Doug Baldwin owner in a lot of places, and I was disappointed by that performance yesterday and disappointed that he says his knee feels like crap. I think there's a lot to worry about when it comes to the Seahawks.
All right, we got about 30 seconds. Jacoby Brissett, how does he play Thursday?
They're not signing anybody else, so I think they're going to play it safe and take a few chances, and it'll be Julian Edelman over and over and over again.
Yeah, Julian Edelman, you know what? He reminded me a lot of what Dak Prescott did in the preseason, yeah. Actually. You know, he's efficient. Absolutely. He can throw the ball. He can scramble. He can run. It's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. And I didn't look at the salaries, but I imagine he's going to be, what, $5,000?
He's going to be nothing. By the way, their backup that night's going to be Edelman. So we'll see how that happens.
Interesting. Interesting. Hey, Greg, always a pleasure, man.
Thanks, Dave. We'll see you again soon.
There's Greg Sussman with us. We take a quick break. We come back with our plays of the day. We got a lot of them. All right, it's time for our plays of the day. It's an ugly Monday Night Football game tonight, but I think it's a good idea to put these crappy teams on early in the season so we're not subjected to this stuff later in the year when the Bears are 2-6. All right, I think the Bears are going to be 0-2 after tonight. There's no good reason to like the Philadelphia Eagles here in Carson Wentz, but there are more. It's like the election itself. There's no good reason to like Trump, but there's more reasons not to like Hillary. Or at least that's the way we're looking at this here. And the way I look at this, Jay Cutler's 13-30 in his career. 13-30-2. Two pushes in his career as a home favorite. Soldier Field, hostile place. Come on. The Bears are 1-10. Their last 11 home games straight up. Give me Carson Wentz here, man. Give me Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles plus 3. Don't love it, but hey, we're playing it because that's what we do. We got the Eagles tease to the over 35.5. I think you can squeeze over the number. Carson Wentz over 235.5 passing yards. Nelson Aguilar. Everyone rips on Nelson Aguilar. Always a bust. He's a fantasy bust and all that crap. Whatever. He had 4 catches last week. He only needs 3 tonight. Let's go over 2.5. Jay Cutler. Over 20.5 completions. He sucks, but he throws a ball a lot. Zach Miller. Over 2.5 receptions. We're going to go Eagles-Bears. Total sacks. Over 4.5. Why? I don't really have to explain to you why. The Bears offensive line is brutal. I wouldn't be surprised if the Eagles sack Cutler 4 times. Bears just have to get to Wentz a couple of times. All right, let's go. Long field goal over 44.5. This one's been pretty good to us. This one worries me a little bit because of the wind in Chicago. But with that being stated, we got to go over 44.5 yards. World Cup of Hockey is a big scam, and it's a waste of time, and tickets are going for $6 on StubHub. But I'm doing well betting it. So let's go with Europe. The final countdown. This game starts, so it really is a final countdown. Europe minus 130. Every game in this tournament has gone under the number or been a push, so let's go under 5.5. Russia and North America, I'm going to take the kids. The kids are all right. The kids get it done tonight against the Russians, and let's go Russia and North America under 6.5. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours, and more importantly, mine.